are continuing in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're looking at some of the companions that Paul has been blessed with, and he's reminding Timothy of them, and just what the state is. And pick it up in verse 11. He says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we can come to you as often as we will, God. You have paid dearly for that. You have shown your love so that it is unquestionable, God. And we thank you and we praise you for that. And so we do come to you once again tonight. And we do need you every hour, every moment, God. And I ask for the filling of your Spirit. Help me to minister the word to your church tonight. Fill my dear wife with your Spirit, teaching the deaf ladies class tonight. I thank you for each one here, God, and those that are here with us on the live stream as well. And Father, as your word goes forth once again, we ask that by your blessed Holy Spirit, you would open the Scriptures to us. Father, we pray that as your word goes forth, that the lost would be saved, and that the saved, Father, would grow in the likeness of Christ. Father, is always our prayer. And might you meet each need in each heart tonight, whatever that might be. Father, and just draw us closer to you. We just pray that you would help us in the time remaining that you give us to be lights and salt for you. Continue to bless our fellowship together. Thank you so much, Father, for this church. And do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, let's see where we're picking it up here. We're looking at faithfulness and Paul's companions. We looked at Titus, I think, already. We're looking at where some of these have gone. Crescens is in Galatia. Titus is in Dalmatia. Luke is with him there in Rome still. He'll be with him to the end. Tychicus, he says, he's going to send to Ephesus, and we'll pick it up from there. We traced Luke last week and saw that he is with him here in his final imprisonment. He is with the Apostle Paul. Picking it up with Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Possibly to minister in what will soon be Timothy's absence, because he's asking Timothy to come. We see in 2 Timothy 4:9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." And so he's wanting that. He says also in verse 21, "Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren." So he's wanting Timothy to get there as quickly as he can, and certainly before winter. So Tychicus, he's going to send to Ephesus. He may very well be the one that carries the letter from the hand of Paul in his dungeon, where he's at, to the hand of Timothy in Ephesus. Tychicus was certainly a faithful. Servant. By the time Timothy receives the letter, Paul's sending of Tychicus is past tense, as Paul refers to in the letter. Tychicus, he was just a faithful servant to the Apostle Paul. I think during his first imprisonment, he was also a messenger for Paul. We would read that in Colossians 4:7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. And here's what he says. Who's a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. My goodness, what more would you want to hear than that from somebody like the Apostle Paul? Amen. What a faithful servant. And what a blessing. It truly is this labor. It is, we need companions. We need to work together. Amen. And God's work doesn't get done, without God's people working together. And I'm thankful for this church and for what God is doing through us. Of course, question 6 asks, what glowing description does Paul make of his companion Tychicus? We just read that. Beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant, in the Lord. That's what we certainly would want to be known as that. Tychicus was with him on his third journey. Paul went down to Corinth on his third journey, and then went back up through Macedonia. And as he went back up through Macedonia, there was some men that went on ahead of him and Timothy, or rather him and Luke. There was some that went on ahead, and they went to Troas. We read about that in Acts 20, verse 4. They accompanied him, Luke writes, into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. So he's among the group that's going ahead there on the third missionary journey. He's going ahead of them. Paul, remember, on that journey, he won't stop by Ephesus. He'll stop at Miletus because he doesn't want to be delayed. He wants to get back to Jerusalem before Pentecost. Tychicus was in the, along with those travels as well. In Ephesians 6:21, that letter written in the first imprisonment, but that you know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord, makes known all things. And it seems Titus chapter 3 and verse 12, Tychicus may have been traveling with him in that traveling that he did in between his imprisonments. We read in Titus 3:12, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. And it seems that's the journey that one of the journeys that's not recorded in the book of Acts. And Tychicus is involved in that as well. And of course, we see him here with him at his second imprisonment, where he is going to, in fact, send Tychicus to Timothy, likely bearing the letter giving Timothy the news. So what a faithful brethren, faithful companions. And what a blessing. And we look at Erastus, and he says, Erastus abode at Corinth. Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. So Erastus abode at Corinth. Now, Erastus, we would learn that he was the chamberlain, in a sense, at Corinth. When Paul was at Corinth on his third missionary journey, he wrote his letter to the Romans. Okay? And his letter to the Romans, in Romans 16:23, he writes, Gaius, mine host, of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. So Erastus is the chamberlain of the city. Chamberlain is the word oikonomos, where we might get economy. It's the same word translated steward. So he is a governor. He's perhaps a treasurer of the city. And so he is a blessing to the Apostle Paul. We have Brother Travis here. He is perhaps a chamberlain, an IT chamberlain of the city of Newport. And we're thankful for the chamberlain that we have. Amen. And he's Erastus, faithful. He says Erastus abode at Corinth. So it sounds like now, of course, he was stationed there because he was a governor there in the city. He had responsibilities there, so he's stationed there. But it sounds when he says Erastus abode in Corinth, it sounds like that he was traveling with him some, and when he came got back to Corinth, he went ahead and stayed there. So we see that. He says Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. We established already that was the journey, not one of the journeys not recorded in Acts, proving that the Apostle Paul must have done the traveling in between the two imprisonments there. So Erastus also was involved in some of that. Remember, Trophimus was the one that they had seen in the temple. Or rather, that they assumed that Paul took into the temple. They saw him in town with Paul, and they assumed that Paul had taken him into the temple. I don't know if I think we already touched on Trophimus pretty good. He was, as again, they used his presence with Paul to accuse Paul of having taken him into the temple, which he did not, but they accused him of that. But he says, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Remember, Miletum was where, on the coast, just south of Ephesus, he was sailed by Ephesus and stopped at Miletum, and then, or Miletus, same place, and then sent for the elders at Ephesus to come there. And so, and gave them those final instructions at the end of the book of Acts. So Trophimus, he had left in that place different time. And it was a journey, not the third journey, but he left him in that place where he had met with those elders before. He left him at Miletum sick. It's interesting to think about when the Apostle Paul healed many. God used him to heal many. And we read in Acts 19:11. And by the way, Trophimus is an Ephesian, and we read in Acts 19:11. Here Paul is ministering in Ephesus, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So he's seeing people healed and selling handkerchiefs? No, just kidding. Don't buy any of those today, by the way. Okay, if you get some evangelists who want to sell you something, you know, to help you with your disease, you know, we don't need that. All right, but here we have Paul. He leaves him sick. He either could not or did not exercise those powers on this fellow believer, this fellow servant. By the way, we see the very same thing for Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and then often infirmities. So Timothy doesn't get healed either. He's directed to do what many of them did in the culture there. They would mingle some wine, a little bit of wine, with their water to purify it and to take some of the impurities out of it. And Timothy might have been trying to abstain altogether from that for some kind of a vow or something, who knows. But Paul says, mingle a little bit with the water there, so that'll help your stomach problems and all that. So, but not a miraculous healing to Timothy either. The gift of healing was given at times to authenticate the message of the gospel. We see miracles were allowed to be done in the beginning of the gospel. to authenticate the word in Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. The Bible says they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And so that they confirm the word to prove that to others in this new, this fresh start of the gospel, these men are of God. These are of the Most High. These are the God's words. And so many miracles were allowed to be done by them. We don't see those people with the gift of healing today. Okay, if we do, they're indebted. They start going into the hospitals and cleaning them out. Amen. Some of those signs have passed off the scene, and we believe that tongues is another one. Now, I've heard rare instances of tongues being spoken actually in a biblical manner where people are hearing that. And but for the most part, when you look at all the tongues movements, it's opposite of what's in the scripture. First of all, in the context where Paul says, "I suffer not a woman to speak or usurp authority over the man," in the context he's talking about tongues there. Women were not to speak tongues in the church, and they're 90% of what we know of the tongues movement is today is women speaking tongues in the church, and so. And they're not to speak what? Unless another interprets. And we see it going on all the time. Anti-biblical. And by the way, if it's not according to this, Paul says that though he put out the stipulations for tongues, he says, if anybody thinks they're wise, let me know that the things I give you are the commandments of God. So if it's being done against God's word, it's not of God, okay? It's not of God. The devil is a counterfeiter, is he not? He likes to mimic everything that God does. And we have the truth. We approve all things and we hold fast that which is true. Amen? And that's what keeps us on the straight and narrow. That's what keeps us walking with the Lord. Amen. This healing. It was not intended to keep believers well. Therefore, even some of the most faithful Christian laborers were not healed. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul himself was not healed. Amen. Galatians 4:13, Paul writes to the church there, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh," he's talking about a physical problem that he had, "through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh," he says it again, "ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." And so he had an infirmity. Myself included, believe he had some kind of an eye problem, perhaps. He talked about what a large letter he had written to the Galatians. Maybe perhaps large in writing, so that he could see it. He was not healed. And he in 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul writes about that, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a what? Thorn in the flesh. It meant the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And we looked at that word, we studied that before, that Greek word exalted, isn't a little voice. And what he's saying is the one who would be doing the exalting would be himself. He was saying, lest I get too proud is what he was. That God was keeping me from getting proud by allowing me to have this infirmity. And no wonder it was a benefit to him. Amen. Because nothing good comes from pride. Okay. Becomes a problem in our spiritual walk, that's for sure. Question 7 in your book asks, what does Paul's list of faithful ministers teach you about the need for companions in ministry? Anybody have anything you want to, Brother Trav?
You need a lot.
You need a lot. Yeah, get back up there. Yeah, you need a lot. God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a big world, isn't it? and so we need ministers everywhere. And we need one another. We need one another. Iron sharpened iron, so a man sharpened the countenance of his friend. Amen. Part will not grow spiritually the way that God wants us to without fellowship in the local church. Amen. Working together. Brother Travis? Yes. Yeah. The things that thou have heard of me on my many witnesses, the same commit thou what? To faithful men who shall be able to teach other also. We got to do that. That's part of it. We have to send it on. Because we don't hang around here forever ourselves, do we? If the Lord tarries. No, we have our time. All right, so we'll see what we have here. Faithful companions in the ministry are vital, right? Not optional. Ministers complement each other. Amen. By the way, everybody has at least what? One gift, and nobody has them all. Amen. And so we need one another for sure. Companions of ministry encourage one another. Bible talks about two have a good reward when they work together. One's able to help the other one up when they fall. And we sure need that. I know that it's the prayers of God's people that strengthen me. And I trust that when we see others struggling, that our prayers what? Will strengthen them. Amen. And we've seen God give strength and blessings through prayers that we don't understand how He does that. But my goodness, I'm so thankful that He does. Amen. We know that He does. It's a great ministry prayer. Foremost, you know, well, all we can do now is pray. No, we need to do that first. Amen. We need to do that first. First and foremost. Amen. All right. Now we'll look at point three. Verse 9 of chapter 4 there. Paul writing to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. So he wants Timothy he gives him some things to do. He says he wants him to come shortly to him. And he says verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee in the books, but especially the parchments. So he wants Timothy to come. He says, do thy diligence to come unto me shortly. It's interesting that when he says, do thy diligence, it's the same word that you find in 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Do thy diligence. Study. Spoudazo. Do thy diligence, and we had in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And of course, that diligence and the hastening, they're translated as study because it's in regards to the word, the studying of the word. Now he's saying with the same earnestness, with the same diligence, come to me, hasten. Paul asked Timothy to leave his post in Ephesus and to come to be with him in Rome. So question 8 asks, what are some possible reasons why Paul desired Timothy to visit? Anything you want to share with that, Brother Travis? He knows his time is short now. The earlier letters, earlier prison letters, in his first imprisonment, and he expressed the confidence that he was going to be released. through the prayers, and we believe that he was. But now he says, now he knows, and so he's slated for execution, and he desires some human companionship. Timothy was a son in the faith, and it was about Timothy to say, "I have no man like-minded who will care for your soul." So he had that one mind there, and he was trusting the Lord, but he desired the presence of his faithful friend. All others except Luke had been sent on a missionary journey somewhere else, or some had forsaken him. He wanted Timothy to come before winter, when travel would become more dangerous. And Acts chapter 27 is the prime example of that. That's the boat ride that Paul and Luke and others took in the winter when they shouldn't have been going. And we saw the treachery that they went through on that trip. And he's in that dungeon, so Paul's going to need his coat before the wintry cold filled that dark, damp hole wherever they had him stuffed at. Doesn't sound like it was a very pleasant place where they were keeping him. So come. And then he says, bring. He says, The cloak I left with Carpus, when thou comest, that's the first thing he needs to do, is come, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. So he wants Timothy to bring those things. And the cloak was a heavy coat that would provide some warmth for him in that dungeon. He left that cloak with Carpus at Troas when he was traveling between his two imprisonments. Maybe he forgot it. Or perhaps the weather was warming, and so he decided to leave it there for a while on purpose, intending to retrieve it later. Some believe maybe Troas is where they captured him, and he ended up leaving his coat there just in whatever that looked like as they captured him and took him back to prison again. But anyway, he's wanting Timothy to bring those things, and also the books and the parchments. Question 9 asks, why would Paul want scriptures while he was alone in prison? Anybody? Charlie?
Well, I would say he's human just like we are. We struggle when you get to a certain point where you know you can't control on your own, so you need fellowship, edify, and the scriptures.
Yes.
More so.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I like what the the book had. Of course, the scriptures comfort and they comfort us personally. Having the scriptures was like having the Lord Himself, His most faithful companion with Him at His side. You know, one thing that's grown more in my heart is over the years that I've known the Lord, as I get up and I look at my Bible sitting where I do my devotions, and I think, that's been with me all these years, that word. I look forward to that in the morning. And you really feel the closeness of God. You want God to speak to your heart in some way every time you open the book, you know. And it's a comfort. It's a reminder that, you know, everything around me, it's all temporal. This is eternal. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. We're going to see this somehow in eternity. It's going to be involved in all that. And I think, wow, we have this to hold right now. Amen. What a blessing. And, of course, Jesus is the Word incarnate. You know, I'm going to be preaching a message Sunday morning, and one of the points will be about knowing God. Just knowing God. And if we love the Lord, we're going to love His Word. To say, well, I love the Lord, but I get to my Bible once in a while and it's collecting dust. No, you're a little confused. No, we're going to, if we love the Lord, that it comes from, we know the Lord through this Word, amen. We see Him. We are changed into His image from glory to glory from this blessing. This is a living Word. And they talk about, you know, higher criticism and people that judge the book. You know, which scriptures should we use? I read this book; it criticizes me. Okay, it points out it works in me. Amen. Shows me what needs to be thrown out of me, amen, and what needs to be added to me. And I'm not going to, I don't go in this, there's no corrections to be made in here as far as I'm concerned. But there's plenty to be done in me as I read that. And what a blessing it is to have that blessed book. The books probably would be writings that were on papyrus. The parchments were likely writings on animal skins, and were likely some copies of some Old Testament scriptures that he wanted, and he especially wanted them. Paul wanted to study. I thought about that. Paul wanted to study the scripture even while death was approaching, and I thought, what a challenge! What a challenge! He was a student of the Word to the day of his execution. And that's where we need to be, amen. We need to be in this reading and ever learning. I'm with Brother Brian. He says, he didn't really like the word, scholars when it comes to the Word. We're all Bible students, aren't we? We're ever learning. But thankfully, unlike some foolish people in the Bible, some people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are ever learning in what? And growing more and more in the image of the Lord as we learn, as we learn His Word. And we'll pick it up from there next week. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, for Your grace to us, for Your love to us in Christ. God, I thank You for each one here tonight. And it's such a blessing to gather together in Your house and to know that we have the same Spirit, that we have this miraculous wisdom and power that You've given us by Your Spirit and by Your Word. And Father, all the things that we know about eternity and about living life now, Father, are all of Thee. Father, and I thank You and I praise You for that. Help us to grow more into the blessed image of Your Son. And God, now as we go, Father, I pray You'd, if You should tarry, Father, that You'd take us home safely and help us this week. Bless us in our devotions with You, Father. Speak to our hearts afresh and anew. Help us, give us opportunity to speak of Thee in one way or another, in one place or another, God. And that we might share some of Your glories, Father, with those whom you'd bring before us. And Father, we just look to You for that. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for His glory. Amen.